Okay, I think that's. Do you know my brother listens to a lot of podcasts, and he absolutely hates is when people drink near the microphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Really. And it's like, but he hates the. It's not so much that; it's the. He can hear like the phlegmy bit. Anyway, I think we're rolling.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is an advice podcast dealing with all of life's problems. Everyone has problems, and this is the place to share them. Though I must remind you, I'm not trained at therapy or medicine, so if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter who used to work in bars and restaurants and clothes shops and finance and merchandise. And I dressed as an angel once in Harvey Nichols to promote After Show.
What did you do?
I dressed as an angel. It was money, Mark, and you don't knock me for it.
I'm not going to knock you. I can't believe in 20. This is the 20th episode. Happy 20th, Tim. You've never mentioned this.
It's not something I go around talking about. I was dressed as an angel. I had to have tea-stained underwear because my frock was quite see-through. I think it was Moschino.
What do you mean tea-stained? What, just like
they got me like a thong, and then they tea-stained it, so it was sort of flesh-coloured.
A jockstrap.
Yeah, kind of thing. Well, it was like a male thong. They do exist. Not the most comfortable thing, went up my bum. So they tea-stained that, and then I had like ballet shoes, and I had a halo.
Please, have you got pictures?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah, if I can find one, I'll show you.
I hope they surface on the internet.
There was me as an angel, and then there was a devil, and the splash end of the bottle. They did a bottle with two ends. One was splash, one was spray. Spray was angel. Splash was the devil. Bestseller, I think. Mark is here to keep me in check.
Hi, Tim. Hello, everyone.
How does it feel to be award-winning, Mark? Is it extra skip in your step?
It's changed my life, Tim. That thing when you go out the house and there's like paps everywhere.
Yeah, is it like that? Sorry for by the way, that there's been a little couple of weeks off. We've had a bit of illness in the old podcast camp.
Two different types
of illness. Mark can tell you about his. I'm not telling you about mine. Well, I can, but you won't want to hear it.
I don't think you should. It's disgusting. Not
very nice. So a bit of illness. So we just decided, rather than put out something rubbish, we would just wait and do something.
Also, the other rubbish thing was that you didn't want me coming over here with like a toxic throat because you didn't want to catch it because you only work one day a week.
People might think that's weird, but when I worked in production companies and I had my people around me in Sky and also internet things I was doing and stuff, I used to always say to people, if you're ill, just don't come in.
Yeah, because you spread it.
Yeah, because you spread it and suddenly you end up with four people down rather than just one. And people used to come in and go, oh, I'm really struggling to get to work, but I'm here. And I'm like, I don't want you here. Go away. Really, go.
Yeah, you were quite blunt about me coming over.
Yeah, I just don't want to catch illness. And I think it's really bad. But you know, in Asia... often in China and places like that, Japan, they wear masks when they're ill,
yeah,
to stop spreading it rather than
I always used to think it was really rude, and someone told me that it was the other way around.
I think it's really good,
yeah, it's brilliant,
yeah, and they do it. I think they do it in it's Korea like as well. Like I think the whole of Asia does it,
it's good
they?
As well. It makes you keep away from people. It's like in the plague when they used to draw a red cross on your door,
yeah, and it's when you've got a cold. Also, when I've got a cold, I go, I'm not going to kiss you or shake hands if I'm out or doing something because I don't want to spread. That's how you generally spread colds and flus and things, is by touching people rather than through the air. So you shouldn't touch people. But anyway, I didn't want a cold. Is that a bad thing not to want a cold?
No, not at all. Just could have done it a bit nicer.
Dress it up?
Yeah.
How?
I made it look like it was about me going, oh, don't push yourself, mate. You know, maybe don't, you might, you know. Look after yourself. Not while you're not coming over here. I don't want your lurgy.
I don't want to do it because I don't want to get ill. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Because I can work when I'm ill like you can. So, you know, I don't know. Anyway, how's the greasy coffee diet going?
Good. Thank you very much, Tim.
People keep on calling it the greasy coffee diet to me. I've relabeled it because it is the bulletproof diet.
That's the one,
it?
Yes. Yeah.
So, but we're not fake news here. I tell it the way it is. It's the greasy coffee diet. Are you still, how many weeks down are you now?
I'm a month
five.
In.
Five.
I'm a month
four,
in.
Four. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And have you? Do you know how much weight you've lost?
I've lost about 2 inches off my middle. I don't.
What does that equate to in pounds
or kilos? Must be about
a stone
and a half, maybe.
You're kidding me.
No, about that.
You're looking good.
Thanks, Tim.
So you're going to keep going for how long?
Until I look like Channing Tatum.
Wow. How did you, on a, are you, what are you going to do, like a waist size or something? But you're going to have to buy all new clothes, aren't you?
That is a small price to pay. Well, it's a big price to pay, technically, but it's a, you know. No, that'd be fine.
What waist are you looking for? 34, 32?
I don't know, 24.
24,
maybe.
Yeah, that's the way to
I want
go.
To be like an hourglass.
We have a follow-up email from LM. He was worried about growing up. Though we thought he was having a brilliant life. This is from a few podcasts ago. He was sorted. As he wasn't desperate, was he? Wanted to sort his life out and he wasn't desperate.
He wasn't desperate for relationships, was he?
No, but he was also sorted for not worrying about his career too much, was he? I can't remember. What was the thing with his career?
He didn't know what he wanted to do.
Didn't he?
I don't think so.
I thought he said that what he wanted to do was just focus on something he wanted to do. Right. As we can't remember, I'll just read the email. Tim and Mark, thank you for reading out my email on episode 13 and for the kind words. I've never believed that I'm on track in life. So to hear you say I've got my head screwed on was a pleasant surprise. You have, mate. Regarding growing up, that was it. He was worried about growing up, wasn't he?
That's
from now on, I'm going to try and stop thinking about what lies ahead of me and just take life day by day. Good idea. I've realised that there's no point losing sleep worrying about if I'll be okay in 5-10 years. Just wait and see. However, at the same time, I won't just let life happen around me. That's right. Go and get the job you want. Regarding relationships, I'm going to carry on the way I am. I see no need in getting into a relationship at this moment in time, as I'm rather happy staying single. Again, I'll see what happens. Thanks again, LM. I think what you should do, mate, though, is if a relationship comes along, grab it, because relationships are good fun. But, you know, don't. By being not desperate, it'll probably happen for you. Also, we've got an email in from Hal. How's Hal getting on with his bronze certificate?
I don't know. You tell me, Tim. I sent them to you.
Have you?
Yes. I also sent you a text as well telling you that I'd sent them to you.
Okay. Oh, it might be my fault if you haven't got your certificate. For any new listeners, you get a certificate if we read out your email. If you could do five, which Hal definitely has now. We're going to get him a bronze certificate out. No idea how we're going to do it. Have you got a bronze crayon? Just a brown crayon. You can borrow one of Jamie's here. We'll just crayon around the edges or something. Anyway, he says, hi, Tim. Hal here. Just listen to the... But anyone who doesn't know, Hal's a regular listener who writes in regularly. And has
more emails. Would you classify him as stalker?
He's verging on it, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, he said, just listen to the birth podcast with Beverly Turner, which I found to be very informative and takes away the perception that giving birth is a doddle. Don't laugh. Don't laugh, Mark. You're coming across as sexist. I did, however, make the mistake of informing some of the co-workers I was listening to it. And they are now trying to guess who I've impregnated and are preparing for birth with. Ah, bugger. Keep up the good work, though. So he'll be getting his certificate very soon. We've got an email in here from Richard, actually. This is hot off the press. This says, dear Tim and Mark, big fan of the show, and huge congrats on the award, richly deserved. Hey, thanks, Richard. I wanted to add weight to your argument that nothing good happens after 1 a.m. I was on a stag do last weekend and spent much of the time getting to know other friends of the group. Now, this was from a couple of podcasts ago when I made the
assertion.
Yeah, that after 1 a.m. nothing good happens. It's time to go home. And actually, bizarrely, there's been more of a weight of support behind that.
Has there?
Yeah.
Because we completely...
I disowned it.
We completely dissembled it.
Yeah, exactly.
Minutes after you'd said it.
I did, but I still think after 1 a.m. some weird stuff happens. Anyway, he said... I was on a stag do last weekend and spent much of the time getting to know other friends of the groom I hadn't met before. Things were going really well. On the last evening, brackets, post 1 a.m, I looked up from the busy dance floor to see the stag and some of his other friends standing around the pub quiz machine rather than seeing off the stag's final night of freedom on the dance floor. I was speechless and somewhat incensed. So I took the following action, which I may have thought twice about, were it before... the 1 a.m. watershed. Exactly, Richard. I sneaked up beside the quiz machine, slid my hand behind it, and turned it off at the wall, midway through a game of Deal or No Deal. Needless to say, they were absolutely fuming. It transpires they, a team of six, were £3 up. When they realised just what had happened, the evening turned tense and the group disbanded before heading to bed. Were my actions out of order? What advice can you give me to ensure there's no frictions on the wedding day? Yours, the hopeful Smoggy. Well, Richard, I actually think you were out of order. I've got to be honest. But it was post 1 a.m, so you're allowed to do stuff like that post 1 a.m, because that's just, I can see what it's like. You're frustrated. You're out for a good night and out. And you're looking over and you're thinking, hey, it's the last night. This is it. This is the bit. You know, he's seen them over there and he's thought, oh, no. There we are.
They're more into Noel Edmonds than they are Dave Edmonds.
Yeah. So you are wrong, but I understand it because no good comes after 1 a.m. in the morning. I think what you've got to do though is front it out when you see them. First thing you've got to do is walk up and go, guys, I'm so sorry. No, actually, don't apologize. You've got nothing to apologize. Guys, that was weird, wasn't it, when I turned the machine off? Hey. What was it? Whoa, it was after 1 a.m. and I was a bit drunk. And just sort of bring it up early so that people think you're a good guy.
Could you say that his phone slipped down the back of it and he was trying to retrieve it?
Don't lie. Never lie. Just be honest. Say, I was watching you and I thought, hey, we should dance and have a good time. And I just thought I'd turn it off. I think it probably wasn't a good idea and I probably think you think I'm a bit of a knob, but I'm not actually, I'm a good guy. Let's go and have a drink together. Something like that. But you've got to front it out early doors. Just explain it was after 1 a.m. Everyone knows that's the thing, after 1 a.m.
But just never go on a life support machine.
Right, on this week's podcast, we're talking about going out without your partner, cohabiting with your partner, how to communicate with teenagers and other stuff. So should we get on with the first one?
Yes, of course.
This comes from Scunny Pete. He says, good morning, lads. How the devil are you both? Top-tastic podcast you're developing here. My question is this. On the 18th of April, my wife and I were gifted with twins. Congratulations. A lovely boy and a girl. Thankfully non-identical, as I'm cracking on in years, and like that, I can tell the difference between them. The question is, when is it feasible to go back to having Tuesday nights out with a lad playing pool? I know the answer to this one. The answer is next Tuesday. You just need to carry on with your life, mate. You have to keep living it, keep going on with it. Though you must also make sure your partner is doing the same. It's vital that you still feel like you have a life. Otherwise, you start resenting your children and partner. I promise you this. I do know this for a fact. I have twins and I also have a baby. She's not a baby, she's four now. People always say about twins, they're twice as hard. I can promise you that they're actually not twice as hard. They're seven times as hard. It is just ridiculous, twins. It's just
really?
It's nonstop.
Why? What's the difference?
It's two of them.
Yeah, but don't they like cancel each other out?
As it gets on, it gets easier. Okay, so to begin with, though, it's just constant feeding and crying and sleep deprivation. There's stuff coming out of them continually, sick, poo, wee, it's nappy changing. It doesn't stop. And with my twins, they'd sleep at different times. And the whole thing was just an absolute nightmare.
I hope some of their friends are listening to this. They'll be really embarrassed.
But when they get older, they start playing with each other and they entertain each other. So it becomes slightly easier. Jamie G, my youngest, makes me play with her non-stop now. And she's four. By that time, the twins have started playing with each other. But,
That's kind of what I was thinking. I didn't mean cancel each other out, but I meant they just sort of...
Oh, but at babies, it's horrific. Okay. But Jamie makes me play. At the moment, I have to play restaurants with her. I have to play sisters, where we were sisters. I have to play dog and cat with her, which is hard on my knees. I make her play with me. I don't think she quite gets the game at the moment.
Subutio.
I make her play with me, Evil Dictators. What we do is we find a place that we can spy on the world. So we find a little cubby hole or something. We do it, sometimes we're in this play centre and we go and hide away in a corner. And then we plot how we're going to take over the world. And then at the end of it, we have to go, ha, 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 ha. I think that's the bit she likes, doing the laugh at the end.
I think you've just raised the next Maggie Thatcher.
What? Do you want to know some of the ways we're going to do it?
Go on.
We're going to steal the sun and we're not going to give it back until we get control of the world. We're going to get all the dolphins and unicorns and not let anybody else play with them unless we get control. And also, this was a good one. We're going to start a zoo, but rather than have normal animals, we're going to grow dinosaurs, where we're then going to threaten to open the doors so they can eat all the humans. I borrowed that bit from Steven Spielberg.
you could make this into a cartoon. You could call it Despicable Jamie.
I sort of stole the idea of, what was that mouse which wanted
to take...
Come
on, a little bit for that pun.
That's
Come
very
on,
good.
A little round
yes,
of applause.
Very good. Yeah, actually, that was good. What was the mouse who used to want to take over the world? Brains.
Ren and Stimpy?
No, something in the brains.
Oh, Pinky in the Brain.
Pinky in the Brain, where he used to take over the world. I sort of stole the idea from that. But Jamie enjoys playing the game, and when I run out of ideas, I borrow from Steven Spielberg. I'm going to invent one where a little alien comes down soon with a finger which glows. She hasn't seen these films, so she thinks Daddy's really clever. Wow, Daddy's growing dinosaurs. He's so clever.
It's gonna be like, when she grows up, it's gonna be like the end of Usual Suspects, where she goes, she suddenly sees all the clues and goes, oh my God, he stole every idea he ever had. He was Kevin Spacey.
Unless she starts thinking, oh my God, everyone stole my dad's ideas. That Spielberg bloke stole all my dad's stories. Anyway, if you are going to go out though, Scunny Pete, make sure you don't do lad stuff. You just got to sort of grow up and do stuff. Pool is a great idea. Go out and play pool. You don't want to put your partner in a position where she's thinking, oh, where is he? Oh God, why is it so late? Be sensible, because you're both in this together. It's for a couple of years, and then it's all fine again. But just make sure you're both looking after each other. Don't come back late, and don't come back ridiculously drunk. Find something good to do with your mates. Well, I took you axe throwing, didn't I?
That was very good fun. Yeah, yeah.
We went axe throwing, and that was really good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're only ever going to do it once.
Yeah.
They started saying to us at the end of the session, hey, we're thinking about starting a league, and we're looking at them like, and we're not coming back here every week. We've thrown an axe. We're not going to do it every week.
We've seen the novelty. We've done the novelty. We are leaving the novelty.
It's good fun to do once. And that was the thing about it.
That's a great advert for them. I bet they'll be really pleased about
that. Some people,
come and do this once.
Some people were getting their eye in. Some people were struggling. We all went through peaks and troughs. And I was just going, it doesn't matter, because it's the only time you're ever going to do this. You're never going to go back and do it. Okay, let's move on to our next problem. This one comes from Gary, who says the missus is turning the house into some sort of pink paradise. All the gunmetal grey is gone. Oh, this is nice. Should I leave her? I replied to this one on Twitter, actually. Twitter one, no, but you need to decide your living environments together so you're both at peace. Should I leave her, I think, is a bit dramatic.
It's a bit, isn't it? I mean, pink's fine.
Pink's fine, yeah. Do you think pink house is fine? Pink house is good.
Pink house is fine as long as it's... There's some other stuff there.
It's weird when you end up living together, because you end up inheriting each other's tastes and you inherit each other's collections. I remember inheriting ex-wife's CD collection, which had sort of boy bands and things in it and strange music, and you're like,
don't
lie.
Really.
That was mine, yeah.
Well,
it's like,
you don't have CDs
anymore.
You did reveal your dream playlist at your wedding the other day.
Oh, it's good, isn't it? It's
embarrassing. A couple of episodes back.
Yeah, quite eclectic mix of nonsense. It is a juggle, isn't it, when you live with each other. You've got to, someone will bring in a lamp. They made it. That's what my ex-wife did. She brought a lamp in that she made at school or university or something, or college. And it's like, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, but if she'd have said that some new German artist had made it, you'd have loved it. Wouldn't you?
It was actually pretty good. Yeah, well, you know what? Fair play. It was all right, but I don't know. Did you? Yeah, you're right. You are right. I'm giving you that one. You're right. I probably would have done, because it was quite...
Oh,
well
God,
made.
I think I'm going to win this episode again.
But yeah, it's hard, isn't it? What if you're a minimalist and your partner you want to move in with likes a bit of clutter? That'd be really hard on you, or vice versa. That could be quite hard. It's tough, isn't it? Have you had problems moving in with people, Mark? Have you ever had that problem?
No, I'm pretty easy going with that stuff.
Yeah.
As long as the sofa is comfortable and there's not stuff in front of way in the way of the telly. Like there's no like a plant in the way of the telly or anything like that. I'm pretty easy going.
Yeah, you're all into feng shui and stuff, though, are you?
I'm fairly minimalist in the sense that I don't like a lot of stuff out.
I can't stand clutter. I've got far too much clutter in this house as it goes. Right, I remember one of my friends
Microphones, Tim. We need them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My friend, I don't know whether this is sexist or not, Mark, but it is a it's not my words, it's my friend's words.
Yeah, but once you say them...
They're not my words, so I can't...
Well, I think you should do air quotes.
Okay, hold on. There you go.
Okay,
fine. Is that all right?
Yeah. Okay. I think the sun won't latch onto this now.
Okay. He said, he once had a go at me and said, look, I'm going to cut a very long story short. And he said to me, do you know how to make a successful marriage? And this is sexist, by the way. And I said, how? And he said, I let my wife make all the decisions apart from the big ones, like cars and holidays. And then I step in. Apart from that, I let her make every single decision. That way, we never have any arguments.
Car's not really... Isn't like where the children go to school a bigger decision than a car? So isn't he being a bit dim-witted?
Possibly.
He's basically... What he means to say is, I let her make all the decisions apart from the fun stuff. That's what he's saying.
The point he was making was there's two people, and if you argue over every decision, then I think this is the point he was making. Just if you're laid back enough, so I suppose it's not sexist really, because it could work in every relationship. I think it was just because he was husband and wife. I perceived it as that. But if you're laid back
enough... Have you finished the air quote? Is this his
finish? Oh, yeah, finished. There you okay. go. If you're laid back enough, you can just go, yeah, you make every single decision and I'll just accept it. If that, because it just makes harmony. But then say, look, when the big decisions come along, and then you've got the opportunity then to step in, and because you've let your partner make all the decisions, your decision probably has more sway. Do you think?
No.
Don't you think that works?
No.
If you want to tweet us, this is the address.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
At Tim Lovejoy.
Yeah, our Twitter address, or my Twitter address, is at Tim Lovejoy. I've got another problem here. We're getting through these rapidly today, aren't we?
We are.
We're doing a good job here. This is another email. Hi, TV Tim. I'm having a few problems with my stepdaughter. Her head is in the cloud. She lacks common sense and is starting to show a bit of attitude. I think it is the sign of the times. Knowing you're a father to girls the same age, do you have any advice? Best regards, Mike. There's a lot of kid stuff here. I'm becoming quite an expert on children today.
That's a real worry for the future.
It is, yeah, especially if you see my rogues. Right, you have to remember... Mike, I do know a bit about this. You have to remember they are a person in their own right. My daughters are 15 and they have their own views on life. And it sort of is their decisions now. Obviously, big things. You know, I'm still a father. They've still got to have rules. They can't go and get tattoos or go out drinking late at night and things. But generally...
Drinking at all?
No. Good point, actually. They haven't... Well, I don't know whether they've drunk or not. I mean, they haven't told me, and I assume they haven't. I have asked them. They're quite...
TV's Lovejoy has runaway children, has no idea
whether they're drinking.
Tim, 82.
I've asked them, and they've said no. But I don't know. You know, you can't... When they're young, Mark, give them milk. When they're older, give them trust.
Beer.
No trust. it's their decisions now. They're adults now.
Not at 15.
You hate this, don't you?
No, because you're taking away. It's not only that. You're taking away vital childhood years.
Yeah, but they're not children anymore.
But
they're 15. No, but they're not. Like our British law and our British society and the Western society and everything else says you are still a child till you're 18. Or 16, depends what you want to do. 17 if you want to drive, you know. But it's they're not. They've got their own. They look at me and they just think you just don't know anything about the world. I know they do, and it's like they've got their own mind and what they want to do. They've got a completely different world to me. They've grown up with smartphones and computers. They can pause TV, Mark. I couldn't do that. their world is different. They've got a completely different form of terrorism than we had. It's It's just the world's funny. It's weird. It's different. And they have very different views on it from my parents, and then different views from me. I watched my mum. I thought I said this on the podcast before. I watched my mum and my daughters argue all the time about feminism. It's amazing. They're both arguing and they're both saying the right things. They both think they're arguing feminism, but it's just they're both coming from it from slightly different angles because their worlds are different.
Yeah.
And they have different sort of thoughts. So do you remember when you were 15, Mark?
Yes.
Did you think your parents knew it all?
No, but I seeked their approval and their permission to do stuff. But,
they still do that. They still say, Dad, is it all right if I go out and stuff?
I mean, I was allowed to go, when I was 15, I was allowed to go to the Reading Festival for 4 days on my own with friends.
People were, yeah.
Yeah, 15 years old.
Exactly. So you're an adult.
Yeah, but I respected the fact that, you know, I asked them, said, "You might, can I?" And they said yes. And then I really respect them for letting me. And therefore, I was that bought them much better behaviour.
Exactly. So
in
when
and
you,
around that.
So when you were young, they gave you milk. And when you were older, they gave you
beer.
So there's a load of cans of lager. Go to Reading. What age did they let you drink?
At the table, quite young, actually. I probably shouldn't say.
Why?
Well, quite young. We were allowed wine quite young.
Yeah, I was as well. That was that thing, wasn't it? See, that's changed, I think. That was that thing parents did where did they water down a little bit of wine for you or just put a little...
No, water.
What, they just gave you straight wine?
We liked it.
What age? 10?
I don't know, like around 11? Then. Maybe, I can't remember.
9?
No, not that, you know. No, I can't remember. I can't remember, but I remember being, if it was at dinner, we had wine. But I remember, you know, that thing when you taste beer for the first time and you just think like this, how does he drink all this beer? It's just rubbish. Yeah. And then you suddenly have one and you go, oh no, that is nice.
Do you think that with beer? Oh, we sound like a pub chat now. Wee, lads, wee! This is now turned into a lad cast. Do you think beer, you like beer because it, what it represents first? Because it doesn't taste great when you first taste it because it's bitter, isn't it? And do you think it's?
When you're first drinking it, when you're a kid, probably like when you're your teenagers, it's probably not brilliant.
You're doing it for the what it represents and B, the feeling you're getting from it.
Yeah,
and then as you go on, you
it's
sort
just
of,
the taste,
it's just lovely taste, isn't it?
A few years ago, I spent a whole summer drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Why?
Because I just enjoy beer so much, but I didn't want to drink.
And what's it like? Sweeter?
It's a little bit weird, but it's not as bad as drinking just water.
My brother used to work for a brewery, and one of these non-alcoholic beers, they used to do taste tests.
Yeah.
And sometimes the non-alcoholic beers used to test really highly.
Yeah.
I think that the reason why, though, is, you know, the Pepsi Coke challenge, and
yeah.
Pepsi used to always win. Apparently, it's because it's sweeter.
Yeah.
So if you're drinking a small amount of something, so say you were drinking a non-alcoholic beer or Pepsi or something like that. By the way, I like both Pepsi and Coke. If you want to sponsor this podcast, but if you're,
we'll call it a podcast if you like.
So if you're drinking small amounts, apparently the sweetness is what you want. But if you're going to go for a full pint of something, you don't want it to be as sweet.
No.
So Coke would come out maybe top of, and so alcoholic beers become.
Oh, okay.
Better in a pint than just a straight test of a small bit. Yeah, so that was very...
What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know.
Back to the email, isn't it?
Yeah, that was very... Should Mike go for a drink with his 15-year-old daughter? No, you shouldn't, Mike. You shouldn't start drinking with your children until they're...
He hasn't asked that, has he?
No. No, he just wants to know what to do with it. Right, okay, it's your stepdaughter. You're not getting on well with her. You're not supposed to, but you've got to find common ground. They are quite moody, teenage daughters. You've got to find common ground and find a way that you can communicate through that. They're not going to come over to you. So if you want to sit and discuss...
You're the adult.
Yeah, you've got to go to them. So if that means you sitting and watching RuPaul's Drag Race or Dance Mums with them and learning all about that, then so be it. You'll have to
sit
down.
Sounds like somebody has some experience.
I haven't got into RuPaul's Drag Race yet, but I've had to watch Dance Moms, which is a truly horrific show that my kids used to watch. I did ask them the other day what they're watching, and what was it they were watching? They just watched some amazing trash. It's reality TV has just gone to a new level, hasn't it? Have you seen Dance Moms?
No, I don't have 15-year-old children, so I wouldn't need to.
So you wouldn't need to, no.
There's so much stuff. You don't... have to watch stuff ironically now for to enjoy stuff. You can actually watch stuff that you actually enjoy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people watch stuff and go, it's so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
Just watch something good.
That's right. No, I agree with that. I agree with that totally. So Dance Mums is a group of kids who, there's a nasty teacher. Actually, I'm not sure she's supposed to be nasty, but they sort of cast her that. And there's the parents, the demanding parents.
Is she nasty
parents.
Or horrific?
There's the demanding parents who are demanding of their children and want their children to be successful.
Pushy mothers.
Then there's these sweet little kids who start sweet. Actually, they're good. I think two of them are really talented now. And actually end up getting a huge careers.
We're actually probably talking about Dance Moms.
See, Mike, it doesn't take long. It really doesn't take long before you just got to watch one or two episodes, and the questions come flooding in and you, into your head, like, why am I watching this? And then you get your daughter.
What's the point of existence?
What is the point of Dance Moms?
When will be the sweet release of death?
Yeah,
those sort of questions.
But Mike. Mark hates this, but you know, if you just don't get on with her, you don't get on with her. You know, you don't have to like your family.
Oh, there it is again.
You don't. Mark finds it hard, the idea that you wouldn't have to like your family. Sometimes, if you're related to a serial killer, would you still like them?
How do you know I'm not?
Well, if you're related to a serial killer who's been caught.
Okay.
Not one that's still...
I should tell you my real surname.
Mike, just enjoy. Enjoy her. Go and find some common ground somewhere. So go and sit down with her and say what you're watching. And then just start watching it with her and see if you can get into a series of it. Just pretend like I have to. Are you ready for some life hacks, some pearls of wisdoms, things they didn't teach you at school?
TV team in the house. Life hacks, life hacks, pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off, mug.
First one sent in by a listener, Mark.
Oh, we've got some.
This is from Mike, another Mike.
This one might then be quite good.
Hi, hi, Tim and Mark. Just do it now. This motto in life really helps. Don't just look at a problem and think about when you're going to do it. Just do it now. Dishes in the sink. Clothes need keeping. Leaking, leaking, difficult email, etc. Just do it now. Just do it now. Dishes in the sink. Clothes need keeping. Keeping? Clothes need keeping.
Let me have a look.
Keeping, clothes need keeping, leaking, leaking, difficult email.
Let me just have a look. Just do it now. This motto in life really helps. Don't look at the problem and think about when you're going to do it. Just do it. I'm just checking. dishes in the sink, clothes need keeping, leaking, leaking, difficult email, etc.
What does that mean, clothes need keeping? I like it. It's like this is one of the great Buddhist proverbs of all time. Just do it now. Dishes in the sink. Clothes need keeping. Leaking, leaking. Difficult email. It's like a song. Dishes in the sink. Clothes need keeping. Leaking, leaking. Difficult email. Clothes in the sink. I know, dishes in the sink. Anyway, apparently it stops the worry, the delay, and makes you feel better. So that's my...
We could release that as a song.
Dishes in the sink. Clothes need keeping. Leaking, leaking. Difficult email. Dishes in the sink. Clothes need keeping, leaking, leaking, difficult email. Yeah, it's kind of like grime.
But it wouldn't be grime because the clothes would be clean.
Oh, exactly right. Very good, Mark. Yay. So that's a good one. Just do it now. It's a bit like just do it, but with a now on the end. I give that one a tick or a swoosh. Right, this is the next one. If you have a bird enter the house, catch it by throwing a large bathroom towel over it. And then you can move it out of the house and release it.
I wish I'd heard that in 2008.
Why? What happened in 2008, Mark?
I had a bird in my bathroom. Bird of flight in my bathroom.
What sort?
I don't know. And instead of dealing with it, because it'd gone through an open window, I shut the bathroom door and went to my parents' house and didn't come back all day. And then got them to drop me home.
Why?
I was just too frightened. It was making fun of you. Well, that's why Hitchcock came out with that film. It's and you hear it flapping and like squawking. Oh, it was really frightening.
Yeah, it is.
I got them to It's not for me.
Did then? How did they do it?
I don't know. I was outside.
Towel?
I don't know.
But I bet your dad got a towel because that's the sort of things dad teach their children, because that's how I know it, because my dad, I watched my dad do it once with a towel. You could also use a sheet as well if the bird's really struggling, you know, and it's maybe a smaller bird. What did you think the bird was going to do to you?
Attack me.
The birds, are they like rats? Do you think if they're cornered, they attack?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
No.
Definitely. They've not only got beaks to peck you with, they've also got wings to hit you with and claws to scratch you with. They've got five implements.
Yeah, is it?
They're like a Swiss Army bird.
It's funny, isn't it, when you hear them flapping and stuff? Well, not funny. It's
horrible. Quite,
yeah, it's horrible noise. All right, final one. Remember, no human in the history of the world has ever done anything for anyone without there being something in it for them.
Wow.
Fact.
Are you okay at the moment, Tim?
That is, do you know what? That is one of life's truths, Mark. It's a fact.
I've done stuff for people when I haven't needed to.
Nonsense. What?
I'm not going to say it now because it makes me sound like I'm...
Because you can't think of anything.
No.
Because there was something in it for you.
No, there wasn't.
Yes,
do stuff that doesn't get anything in return.
Nonsense. Everyone always does. When you're trying to do anything, think what's in it for them. And then if you can think of it, even if it's that nice, warm feeling they've got for doing something for nothing, that is the feeling they've got. But so everybody...
God, call me cynical. That is depressing.
It's not depressing. It's a fact of humanity. When it's that's the way humans operate.
Not all of them.
Not
all of them.
Well, what? Just give me an example.
Just because you've had a couple of bad weeks.
Give me an example.
I'm not going to sit here and
If any of our listeners have got an example of when they did something without it being something in it for them, let us know. Example, Mark.
No.
Because you haven't got one.
I have. Plenty.
When?
Loads.
Go on.
No.
Name one.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Just get on with the next...
No.
Bullet of misery or life hack or whatever it's called.
That's it. That's life hacks. If you've got one... or you've got...
How does that help people knowing that? That's supposed to...
Because...
That wasn't a life hack.
I'll tell you why that helps.
That was just a miserable sentence. That was just a...
No, it isn't. Because, right, what do you want to do? Think of something you want to do later on.
Tim's Pellets of Woe.
Think of something you want to do. What do you want to do later on? You want to, I don't know, say you want to sell someone something. What's in it for them? And you got to think...
What?
Well, I don't know. What is it? What is it you want to do? You want to go to a restaurant and you think, what's in it for the waiter? For me to order this. What's in it for
That's
anyone?
That's called a job.
Yeah, all right. So you want to meet a girl. What's in it for her to go out with you? You've got to think about things like that. What's in it? What's in it for you? What's in it for me? What's in it? I know it's horrible, Mark, but it's just human nature. This is how we're nature, and it's how humans work. Because we're able to think about things. It's how animals work. Cats don't go, I'm going to do something for nothing here. Dogs don't do, I'm going to do something. What's in it for them?
They sometimes do. They sometimes ring the police.
How? What? On a cartoon?
No, there's those stories, isn't there, in the papers of old people in Wales who dogs ring the police when they've fallen over and stuff.
When?
All the time.
Well, how do they ring the
police? With their paws.
Nonsense. I grant you it's miserable, but it's a fact and it's a truth. And you know what? Sometimes when you go through life and you understand the truths, then, you know, then it's worth... It just makes life easier. It's like if you... What's that fantastic Buddhist saying that life is not fair? And if you think life is fair...
That's not Buddhist.
It is.
That's just someone having stubbed their toe. That's rubbish.
Life is not fair. If you start every day by thinking... life is unfair, then you've got half a chance. If you go, right, is this hurting your head thinking about this?
It's just, it can't be, this can't be good to listen to, can it?
This is good advice.
It's not advice.
It's good advice.
Your point of view.
It's a fact. If you start every morning and go and say, right, life's not fair, then when something horrible happens to you, you go, yeah, that's supposed to happen because it's not fair. Whereas if something horrible happens to you, then you go, oh, God, that's not fair. Yeah, it's not fair. Life is not fair.
So you've never done anything for anyone else that doesn't benefit you? That's what you're saying? Because you're judging everyone else by your Scrooge-like existence.
If you turn it on me, it's a kind of a different story.
Oh, what, because you're different to everybody else because you're such a great bloke?
When you when you put the spotlight on me, I'd like to change it.
And once again, we cut through the nonsense with...
Because it makes me sound terrible.
Yeah.
Let's move on,
no,
shall
come
we?
On, no, come on, no, we know.
If you want to send us some life hacks, pearls of wisdom, send it to this email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
And finally, on today's podcast, it's my time to take on an agony aunt, as I always do.
Have we got time for this?
Yeah, come on, we haven't been on for 2 weeks. We'll rack through it. So this is from who this week?
Abby, of course.
Abby, dear Abby. Okay, I take on an agony aunt, and I will give the answer, and then Mark will read the proper answer, or not the proper answer, but dear Abby's answer, and we will see who gives the best answer and then who wins. Dear Abby, I'll be retiring next year. My husband is already retired. When I do, I want to travel in the US and internationally. We are healthy, able to travel, and we have the funds to do it. The problem is my husband isn't crazy about traveling. He'll go if I book it, but he fusses the whole time until we go. It's not like he has to do anything. I do all the booking and packing. All he has to do is show up. I told him one of my bucket list items was to live in Mexico for a month. Why? Because I... Nothing against Mexico, but why do you want to do that? Because I hate... because I hate cold weather. I want to live somewhere warm. Okay, that's understandable. Can you give me some advice on this matter? Help me change his mind about seeing the world before we are no longer able to. Or do you think I need to find a travel companion? Bucket list in Virginia, how she signs off. I think... I think this is actually really simple. You need to find a travel companion. Why should your...
That was definitely bucket list and not bucket head, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I just think, look, some people, he might not want to travel. Some people like traveling, some people don't. There's nothing wrong with your own house. There's nothing wrong with staying just in your own house and enjoying what you've created and what you've built. There's nothing wrong with staying in your own town, in your own environment. There's nothing wrong with staying within a mile radius of your house if that's what you want to do. But there's also nothing wrong with traveling if that's what you want to do. So I wouldn't force him to do it. That would just make him miserable. You need to find a travel companion. I think it's kind of as simple as that. Don't try and control what somebody else wants to do. However, sometimes people need a bit of persuading and they just are scared of it. So talk it out with him, because emotionally he might think, I don't want to do it. I'm scared of living in Mexico. But if you're prepared to do all the work and say, just give it a go, give him an out clause. You can always fly home if it's not working. But I think it sounds like you've reached different times of your life and you want different things. So just give each other a bit of respect, a bit of space, and go on and do what you want to do in retirement. What does she say?
Abby says, because she ends with, do I need to find a travel companion, doesn't she? Abby says, you may need to do exactly that. And that way, and the way to change your husband's mind about travel might be to say it. Not everyone has a wanderlust. If he's a confirmed homebody who regards travel as a punishment instead of a privilege, you should not have to suffer for it. So basically what you said, but she said it better. So I think she wins.
No, I said it better.
She wins that. I'm sorry, Tim.
I think that's...
I'm adjudicator.
I think that's a draw. If not, I won it. Right, that's it for this week's podcast. Sorry it's a little rusty, but we've been off air for a couple of weeks with illness.
A little rusty and a bit depressing.
Yeah, we'll just edit that whole bit out about humans. Anyway, we'll see you next week. If you want to email in, dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet me at Tim Lovejoy. You could also subscribe, please, if you can, and you can also rate us 5 stars. That would be nice. We will see you all next week. Bye.
Bye. Woo! Yay!
Dishes in the sink. Dishes in the sink. Dishes in the sink. Closing, keeping, leaking, leaking. Difficult email.